every word has a technical term and a term that is not formal, a term that is not standard yet. Like the path that leads to Allah Ta'ala, they call it suluk. Right? So suluk is a technical term. Although literally it means to tread, to walk. But in a technical sense, when this is used, it means the path that leads you to Allah Ta'ala. The past, the suluk was in three things. It is in the first ayat of the 21st para. أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا اصْتِلَاعَكَ أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. So there was an abundance of the recitation of the Qur'an Sharif. The one that recites the Qur'an Sharif in abundance, then the benefit, the natural benefit is his heart becomes strong, his mind can see right. Wrong, his mind will just reject it. But that must be a good recitation of the Qur'an Sharif continuously. So this good recitation is not a haphazard recitation. It's a constant recitation. What is now? Comes Ramadan. We begin to recite. And one is a constant recitation. Ramadan, out of Ramadan, as we're reciting. Now the mind comes very, very firm. You think right, your heart is strong, you can see things in perspective. So that's why you'll find in the past they never left this out. This recitation of the Qur'an Sharif was a continuous thing, continuous. You are getting people who will complete the Qur'an Sharif in 6 days. The Sahaba Ikram, nearly all of them, completed in 6 days. But then you had the Sahaba Ikram would complete in 3 days. Then you had those who completed in just 1 day. And Usman, Khanir, they are in one rakat he would complete. Recently someone asked, and he had said, the Qur'an Sharif should not be completed in less than 3 days. So how do we find the stories of Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, reciting the Qur'an Sharif in 1 day? How do you find that? So you see, what has happened to people is they are familiar with books, but they're not familiar with association. So the book knowledge is something else, and you're associating with the company, then your understanding is different. Now there is book knowledge, but there is no association. So the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the reason for the excellence was not book knowledge, it was association. That is why we say Sahaba, plural of Sahabi. And Suhbat means association. And on account of the association, they become Sahaba, and they are who they are. The last of them you say radiyallahu an. So then you find that after that, tabi'in, tabi'a tabi'in, they are very particular about association. They won't just listen to a person who didn't have association. So you find Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he's in court and there's someone that is trying a case against him. So he says that person, uskut, keep quiet. Anta la tura ala bayti ahadin min al-ulama. Says, you were never seen at the doorsteps of an alim. So when you're not at the doorstep of an alim, you don't have knowledge. You just have the words. When you've been associating and frequenting an alim, then you have knowledge, and the knowledge is in true perspective. And without the association, you have knowledge, but that knowledge is not reliable. It's only reliable if you've got it from someone directly, like with him. That is why this became such an important thing. Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayhi, when he's quoting a hadith, then one of the prerequisites of Imam Bukhari for him to quote a hadith, he says, is that person that's relating the hadith, does he have an association? And not an association for a day or half a day, long association. He must be sound in his memory, right? So that his reporting is accurate. But also what is required is he has a long association. So I should think now Bukhari sahab rahmatullahi add this, that he must have a long and a lengthy association. The reason is obvious, that you see things best if there is an association. And without an association you may have got the word, but you didn't understand it in perspective. In this lockdown period, so children were not attending school, you know. You find them hanging around, coming to the masjid, all that. So then you get children from different areas and they come here for some days. Perhaps their father's family or their mother's family is here, so they come and hang around. Then they come to the masjid. So one child came in, they have been about 7-8 years of age. I don't think it's more than 8 or 9. So he came along and he says to me, why do you insist that there must be two pieces of cloth with a topi? You know, the upper gear, the lower gear, and the topi, there must be. He's asking me, small child, because the hadith says that the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum did perform namaz in just one piece of cloth. So now the child is quoting hadith at the age of 8, and now I have to show him what the hadith means. So I thought to myself, whoever showed this child the hadith did a big disservice the child. Because to understand anything, not only hadith, to understand anything, you have to understand it in full context to appreciate it. But if I just quote one thing out of context, then I confuse the person. I will just confuse the person. I must say it in context, full, now the person gets a full picture and a true picture. And just one word not out of context, then I confuse the child's mind. But nonetheless, I could sit the child and explain the whole thing now. So I told him, see, Sahaba Ikram, what you said is right. They were reading namaz at times with just one piece of cloth. But the Rasulullah sanctioned it. He didn't condemn it. So it was a time that they were in financial constraints. And because of the constraints they were in, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, أَوَ لِكُلِّكُمْ صَوْبَانٌ. Does everybody have two pieces of cloth? Does everybody afford two pieces of cloth? So, many people just got just one piece of cloth to cover their body, just one piece of cloth. So that's what they can afford. So they also were asked to do the namaz in the masjid. This is not a valid reason for you not to be attending the masjid that I've got just one piece of cloth. So you come in with one piece of cloth. Now this was because of the financial constraints. As the hadith says, Muslim, Bukhari, Tirmizi and Abu Dawud, all four have got this. أَوَ لِكُلِّكُمْ ثَوْبَانٌ. Everybody affords two pieces of cloth. So the constraint was such that man is performing namaz and after the farz he has to go home quickly and give that cloth to his wife that she can do the farz. Because that's the only cloth they got. The other is, the rest of the cloth is just very little, very minimal. Not enough to cover them at the time of salah. So he had to rush after the farz, go home, give it to the wife, or you also can dress up and do your namaz. So now this was the context wherein the hadith was explained. But now, if you move it out of context, then you generalize the hadith. You want to say it's a specific order for a specific situation, right? So when it's specified for a situation, just leave it to that situation. And you can't generalize it, see. But something that is specific, and you want to generalize it, let's say, itlaq and taqeed, right? Specific, but now you want to generalize that, then you create a problem. So, the hadith speaks about the Mubarak household of Rasulullah, that months would pass with just date and water. 1 month, 2 months, and 3 months with just date and water. At times, just one date and water. Sahaba Ikram were living. So that was the constraint. So that if you make this standard in your house, that from now, 4 days we'll just have one date and water, and the rest of the time we'll have dates and water. Every year, at least for 4 or 5 months, because Sahaba Ikram did that. I ask you, would that be right for you? Ramadan, now you're going home, hungry, stayed hungry for at least 13, 14 hours, right? Sehri is about, say it is after 5 o'clock, right? And iftar is, say, half past, right? So it's about 12 and a half hours, right? So after 12 and a half hours, you only have one date and water. You'll be comfortable. And if someone tells you that the Sahaba Ikram did that, then will you accept that? So now this is specific to a situation. That what is specific to a situation, leave it there. You can't generalize it. Otherwise you must say, no, just have date and nothing else. So to be able to understand and see things in perspective, then we need that type of brain, we need that type of understanding. Open your mind, understand, you sat and associated, right? Was one of these imams, so there was a question that came in, right? man bought a parrot, right? And the parrot is not talking. See, this qiyas mal farik. They call it absurd analogy. Analogy, but absurd. But let me just give another story about a parrot, and then I'll come to the story. Right? So, there was a pharmacist. So the pharmacist has all raw products, right? Now, the doctor's work in those days was then to see what product is used for what medication. Medication sometimes needs to be mixed, sometimes three things, four things, all mixed. You got a type of a tonic and you use it. So that was the doctor's work. And then like how when you're preparing a medication, you say you use turmeric, use black seed, use lemon, right? Don't you find that? So three, four things. So that's the work of a doctor. He will ask you what combination is required. The work of the pharmacist at that time was just to get the medication, the different products. The work of the doctor was to combine. So sometimes the pharmacist has got very expensive products, because all raw and all pure stuffs. So it's very, very expensive. So now the doctor has got musk, right? Not doctor, the pharmacist has got musk. So it's very pure. So now that has to be combined and then used as a medication. Now a small bottle like this can cost about 20,000, 30,000 musk, right? Small bottle. Now, the pharmacist had a parrot. Right? Now he's very thriving business, prosperous, and he's got a parrot. So the parrot would keep everybody cheered, you know, say something, or amuse the people, somehow or other. So that shop was going very well because of the parrot, the type of entertainment they would get. Now, this parrot here saw a cat, right, chasing a mice and killed the thing. That thing got a shock. The parrot got a shock when he saw this. So that thing flew. When it flew, it knocked that musk bottle down. So can you imagine 30,000-40,000 rand and it's gone. So pharmacist came and he saw that this is what happened. He got so angry with the parrot, and slapped it and hit it until all his feathered, he was defeathered, right? When he defeathered the thing, that thing became, went into a depression, not talking. Now the customers tried to initiate, but that thing will not talk. Tried one trick, another trick, somehow or the other, giving some biscuit or something. But that thing will not just talk, refuse to talk. Until one day, one person came into the shop, it was bald. He's got bald and he's got no hair. So the parrot is talking to him, which bottle you dropped for your being bald? So now, people had a good laugh, but they understood that the parrot's reasoning was not right. He was naturally bald, and that thing was made bald, right? So you see the wrong reasoning. How important it is to be able to reason right. That thing only saw one side of the story, and it jumped to its own conclusion. It sees the whole thing, right? Understand? So this is the zamana we're living in, and people don't have the ability to reason correctly. To see things in perspective, they jump to conclusions, and then they feel what we are saying, what we are thinking about is right. But that word got a context. If you didn't understand the context, you will not understand. Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullahi, education is a different thing. I was telling you in the morning, education is a different thing. And the stupid dogmas that they explain about Darwin, it's a different thing. It's not education. That's stupidity, clothed in the clothes of education and then serve to students to be called education. So they have done a lot of strange things. Like they talk of arts and drama, arts and drama, they made part of the education, right? But it's pure indecency. If you analyze the thing, it's pure indecency. But they just give it arts and culture, all that, they made a subject. So what they're pushing through you, they're pushing indecency. But they have to give it a name. Right? See how they give it a name, and that becomes education. Music, right, it's got nothing to do with education. Sometimes it's about flirtation, sometimes it is for you to cool your nerves, right? Sometimes it is for you to be stimulated, right? So that's music. But they made it part of the curriculum, made it education. And you have to learn the thing to pass. Now all trash, every trash that they could find available, they push into the education, they're very educated. You can talk, and it's not education, it's nothing to do with education. But because you don't know what's education, therefore you count it as education. Education is something else. So we're talking about people getting one sentence, one phrase, and how they misuse. So Sheikh Saadi, he lived till about 130, 140 years old. Great, very great philosopher of the time, great saintly person. So I'll show you how it's misused. So he speaks about two youngsters attending a madrasa or a school, and they came across this phrase: "Dost abayat ke girad dast dost." Who is a friend? Friend holds the hands of the friend. The pareshan hala, whether he is in problem or whether he is normal, but I hold my friend's hand. So he learned something very great. He went out of the school or the madrasa and he saw that his friend was getting boxed. And the friend is trying to defend himself. So he was getting about 1-2 shots and 10 shots, but he was defending himself. So this person learned the thing. What he went and did, he went and held the friend's hand. Now all cherries are catching. He was getting 1 out of 10, now he's catching 10. So that's the way. Now I was catching it, I was trying to defend myself, at least I was getting 1 out of 10. And now you want me to get 10 out of 10, what happened? He said, "No man, that's the lesson that we learned, such a great philosopher. He spoke about it. Ke dost abayat ke girat dast dost. Who is a friend? Who catches the hands of the friend." See, so I caught your hand. So that philosopher's words can't be wrong. See now, see misuse. So to be able to understand things, you need to put it in perspective. Holding the hand is just an idiomatic expression, right? When it's an expression, then you must understand it's an expression and how to fit the expression. But there's no association. See, so I'm saying that the problem today is there's no association. You just got a book knowledge, a little bit here, you picked up something there, and after 20 years you discover that I've wasted my time. So you need the association to understand how to put things in perspective. One person came to my one friend, you know. So he says, you know, we worked in a political struggle, and everything came, right? The country took a turn, and we worked, right? But I saw you, and you were quietly doing your business. Right? We had great aspirations and hopes that after we get our things politically, we'll be very wealthy, right? But then we strive, and now after the political effort and struggle was over, so we see we don't have anything now. Then we didn't have anything, now we don't have anything. But you were quiet then, and now also you're quiet, but you are busy then, and you were busy now. So he says, see, what I saw in the struggle is people are going emotional, right? And when they're going emotional, putting all the energy, right? And they put all the energy, the results came out, then the result, a few selected people, they took the results. And what happened to the mass? They got left out. So I understood this. This is what happened. A few selected people will enjoy the fruit of the struggle. And what's going to happen to the rest? They won't get anything. So I say, hey, let me do my own thing. They can do the effort. They can enjoy it now. They can enjoy it later. I know I'm not going to get anything. Now I won't get anything. And later I will not get anything. Let me just do my thing quietly so that I can enjoy the results. And you see, the person that's understanding, he's prepared to reason, he's got association, his whole demeanor is different. He understands, he sees things, and he sees things correctly. But minus association, see, you become like a parrot. Stupid thing you talk about. People laugh at you. But then it doesn't happen. But you become like that person who's catching the friend's hand, right? Doesn't understand the idiomatic expression when he says these words. So now there's another parrot story to make you understand this whole thing, right? So one person purchased a parrot. So he saw that thing very, very interesting, it talks and excites people like that. So he bought it. The salesman said, hey, the thing talks all the time. Salesman study that the parrot talks all the time. So he bought it with this pretext that it talks all the time. But he brought it home and I think he's talking, but he's just talking all the time. So he goes back to the shop and he says, you misled me. Because you're saying that the parrot talks all the time. And this thing doesn't talk all the time. At intervals it will talk, right? It will talk. But not all the time. So you cheated me, you robbed me, you misled me into buying this animal here. And the thing doesn't talk. So there was a court case now, right? That the salesman told him that this thing talks all the time. And when he purchased the thing doesn't sell, doesn't talk. So there was a court case. So this salesman used the hadith in his defense. Fatima bint Qais, she was divorced, right? And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had explained to her that after the iddat is over, you will get proposals coming, right? So don't hurry in confirming any proposal. Because it's a time that you outright, you may just hurriedly take a decision. And then you may regret afterwards. So don't hurry in taking a decision. So after the iddat is over, she comes up to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says that I've got two proposals. One was from Muawiyah and the other was from Abu Jahl. Right? So two proposals I've got. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Muawiyah, Sa'alik, Su'luk, he's poor, he won't be able to afford. See, your standard of living is different. Right? And he is a little bit poor. When he's poor, he won't be able to manage your standard. Right? When he won't be able to manage your standard, you will be in difficulty. See, the reasons why the fuqaha have said that there must be some standards. Right? In marriage, there must be a standard, which could be called kufr. So one of the reasons is that if it's a woman coming from a very thrifty or very wealthy family, affluent family, and she's getting married to a person that is very poor, so she may just accept the proposal in excitement, she may accept it. But then after that she understands that he doesn't live up to my standards. Now she's regretful that I just accepted the proposal. Now his standard is different, my standard is different. I can't manage this thing yet. So now she wants to reel back. And it's too late now because she's already given a confirmation. But therefore, Rasulullah also said, don't hurry. So Muawiyah, you can't afford, you can't manage, right? And the second proposal I've got was from Abu Jahan, right? So this is the second proposal. Rasulullah asked her to turn that proposal as well, because Amma Abu Jahan فَلَا يَزَالُ عَصَاهُ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ. So Abu Jahan, his stick is always on his shoulder. Right? His stick is always on. Like I say, it's an idiomatic expression. Right? His stick on his shoulder can mean you will catch it. You know, every small thing, little temperamental, short fused. Right? Or it can mean that he's always traveling. Therefore, his stick is here. Right? So, but literally, how it translates that he's stick is always on his shoulder. Right? Now, in court, and the defendant, right, he's defending his case. As he's defending his case, he produces this hadith. Amma Abu Jahan, la yazalu, fala yazalu, a'asahu ala atiqihi. He used this hadith in his defense, that his stick is always on his shoulder. So the defendant says that Abu Jahan, he must be resting, sleeping. Right? When he's sleeping, so he has his stick here. He must be eating. When he's eating, does he have his stick there? He must be going to toilet. So when he's going to toilet, does he have it there? But what was the word that was used? فَلَا يَزَالُ أَصَاهُ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ. That his stick is always on his shoulder. And that was an accepted idiomatic expression. It's the way how you speak, right? You won't say it was a lie. So when we say that this parrot speaks always, it doesn't mean he's speaking 24 hours or 24 hours. No, it speaks a lot. It speaks a lot. Like this person travels a lot, he speaks a lot. The judge was very impressed with the presentation, right? How the person proved his point was, and he awarded him the case. So now, all this comes with association. And we don't realize, association is not a few days, you just sat down now, you hear some talks, and now I've got my brain is open now, now you can't deceive me. I'll give another case, and you fall again. Right? So there's so many things that go together to make the human mind work right. But you don't have these things here, so don't take a chance. Then rather, you go slowly, see things, ask, find out. Right? For the people that are experienced, they know these things here, how it works, then you won't be mistreated, put your mind to it, that years, 40 years are gone, but you didn't get anywhere. Right? Now someone has, his mind is right, he can think, he's enlightened, he understands, right? So his explanation may be very simple, but with the simplicity, there's a lot of good that will come out. But it takes time for you to get your mind matured. It takes a lot of time. It doesn't just happen overnight. So this is a problem in this day. There's no association. So fanciful words, etc., etc. Now that gets the person. What are the exciting things he's talking about? You know, how he presents himself. So you're just getting caught with the presentation. You're getting carried away with the way the person conducts himself. But is there any substance in what he says? So you look at the short term, and then you bust your money on a short term. Is that the right thing? I saw one person here. Bishara, he's always in problems. So I asked him, how much you earn? So he says, no, I earn about 8,000 to 10,000. I said, why are you in problems? Then I told him, see, to me, it seems like you're thinking short term. You're not thinking on the long term. He asked me, how do you come to that conclusion? I said, see what happens. You got your 8,000 or 10,000 in a month, right? Then you saw on jeans, the latest style, 9,000 cash. Give me the jeans. Right? Then, you got this 1,000 left. With the 1,000, your travel allowance, your medical, your groceries, your lights, your water, your rental, right? Your food, you look after your wife, your children, can you manage? So aren't you working short term? Have you been thinking the chore long term when you would have bought a simple trouser, right? And you would have understood that I got lights, water, groceries, wife, children, medical, travel allowance, then you wouldn't have been in problems and you wouldn't have put anybody in problems. But you just thought on the short term and you may bust the money, what happens? So this is what's happening today. We're thinking on the short term and we're just expending our intelligence using, you know, someone's fancy thoughts, his exciting statements, we're going with it. But our brain is not opening. After 20 years, we discover what happened to him. So to get your thing right, what is for the first step is just keep quiet, listen to the person. Understand what he's talking about. Go with him. With time, your mind will open out. Then you'll see the beauty of his explanation. Straight away, you can't see it. With time, later on, you'll see it. My one friend was telling me. Now that friend is about 88 years of age. 88 or 90, right? So he's telling me when he was in medical college, right? Those years now, 40 or something, he was in medical college. First year, second year, and then there was a tennis court that just opened out. Public table tennis court that just opened out. So I'm showing you, we don't reason, understand, and quick. And you're not seeing things properly. So when that thing opened out, I got excited, you know, you've seen the tennis and then modernism, and then now sometimes it's a duel, and the duel you're versing a girl is versing you, or you and a girl is on the one side. And now the way they are dressed with the short, and the way the hair is flapping, and they're jumping up and down like monkeys. So all that is happening now. Are you still young? Are you young? You're getting carried away. So I went to play. By the evening, my father saw this. My father said, he came home and announced, "You don't put your foot into this place again." Now I'm university student, right? Medical school, second year. This old man here, what he knows about life? He doesn't know what life is. You know, I'm such a muscular person, exercises, I can fight, and I'll be such a strong, powerful person. So he's old night, he's grumbling and he's crying away. But in those days, if the father said something, you just had to just put your head down and just listen to him. Anyway, he had to listen. He couldn't really, crying, shouting his father, cursing the whole night. He says, after about 7 or 10 years, I discovered the beauty of my father's advice. I think about 10 years later. 10 or 15 years later, I discovered the beauty of my father's advice. Because there were others also from the medical school that went and played in the club, right? But all of them, one is land of a colored girl, children all delinquents, right? Someone is drinking, someone is doing what? The wife is like that, or the children are like that, all off. Because that's the life they're living. Table, tennis, wearing that type of clothing, free life, right? Everything is free. So you only begin to see the results after 15 or 20 years. You don't see straight away is excitement. Jumping, and talking, and the hairstyle, how it's flapping when they're jumping, and the styles and the postures, you know, it looks so exciting, so thrilling. But after 20 years, then you get to understand, all right, this is what I bargained for. Where my other brothers now, they can eat, they can enjoy samosa, they can enjoy pies, aleem, curry and all that, and these things here, the only thing they know is sausage and pierogies, fried chips. We can't stick all these things here. For it took me 20 years to understand this thing. But now, he's telling me, this doctor is telling me, he's 89, 90 now. So he's telling me, you know, now I ask Allah for forgiveness that I was cursing my father that night. But only now I discovered the beauty of his advice. It took me now, all my students, all our professors, earning very well, the respectable people, right, in their own corners, really they are respectable. But that was the result of that one night's scolding and my crying. I was just patient for the time. After 20 years now I see, all right, this is what my father was telling me. I don't regret it for one moment. See? There, for that moment, they were exciting. We are, you know, top of the world, we're jumping. Right? And then what happened after this? See? So, this association, we don't realize the importance of association, right association, thinking, get your understanding right. You're securing your life, your children's life, your whole household. You've got a direction. Right? And then sometimes you go so far out onto the wrong line, to come back becomes like an practically impossible. Now, already got three children, or whatever's happened. Now, to reverse that becomes like very difficult. In Durban, one person went to become a doctor, right? I won't mention the name. So, he went to Ireland. At that time, he went to Ireland. So, there is free. Right? So, you're supposed to come back with a degree. So he's coming back with a degree and a decree. You know, decree? Darling, he's coming back with a degree and a decree is coming back. So he came back, with degrees, but he came back with a girl also. And now this is what I saw, right? Now he's got children from her. And then, not long after that, he must have been about 73. And he passed away. This Irish girl insists that his body must be cremated. Was a Muslim, had a beard or that. Right? But she had a way. And his body was cremated. But you see now how you have to pay for it afterwards. You don't look at these things here. And I say, the problem is because of no association, no direction, no association. You want to fly, you want to do things, to sort of cut things. So you will see things, but then the harsh reality comes right at the end. You're living a simple life, enjoyable life, eating samosas, your half moon, your pies, everything else you're eating. So enjoy your life by leave all these things, leave all these fast things. Leave all this fast life, fast thinking, stupid reasoning. Leave all these things here. Do for your Islam. Isn't that better? You're moderate, but you've got 10 people to read namaz. They're teaching them all fancy ideas. But you've got them to read namaz, read Quran Sharif. So you've got 10 people, they will in turn will direct their homes. Their homes will be in namaz, Quran Sharif, come from masjid. Right? They will do things. But I talk of all these big stories and all that. How many people you got on namaz? How many people you got to be committed to deen? How many people you got? Allah Pakistan is all to him.